Tonight's sermon is from the Ephesians passage that Stephen read out to us before. I might just read a couple of verses before what Stephen read, and I'll read a bit more during the service as well. I feel an awfully long way away from a small number of people, so if you want to come a bit closer, that's great. So in Ephesians 5, Paul writes, "Surely you heard of Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." We're listening to God's word together. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Holy Spirit, please come and inspire my words and the hearts of your people, that we may truly be able to put off the old life, to be renewed by you, and to put on the new life that you have created us for. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I grab that? Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, in the very year that I was born, there was a song released which became quite famous. It's called Cats in the Cradle. You might remember that one. It's kind of showing my age that that song is as old as me. And if you know the song, you know that it's about a father who is with his son. And as the son grows up, the father is really busy and never really has time to spend with his son. But his son still loves his father, and he always comes back to this refrain: "I want to be like you, Dad. I just want to be, you know, I want to be like you." And the song is quite sad because at the end, the father realizes that indeed his son has become just like him. In other words, he has no time for his own dad. He's too busy. He can't spend that time. He can't hang around with him. And the very last line of the song, as you probably all remember, and if my kids are around, they're going, "Don't sing, Dad, don't sing." And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. There is an imitation of parents that goes on from their children. And as you were growing up, you probably did some things in imitation of your parents, and you probably did some things in reaction to the way that your parents lived and acted. Tonight's passage from Ephesians 4 is about being imitators of God. In Ephesians 5 verse 1 it says, "Be imitators of God therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love." And really, that's what the Christian life is about. It's about being like our dad. It's about imitating God and being shaped in a way that is defined by who God is. I often have a bit of a debate with my children, and although I've put it much more succinctly than it usually happens, it goes something like this. My kids think kind of this way, and that is, what I want is good. If I want something, it must be good, and it's kind of not authentic to not live according to your desires. And that goes across a whole broad realm of different fields and facets of human existence. I've summarized it like this. Now, I'm sure my kids wouldn't put it this way, but it's really about my desires define my identity. What I want determines who I will be and how I will act. And I always say, you know what? I reckon that's the wrong way around. Sometimes when my kids are, you know, going to something that they don't particularly want to do, or I'm asking them to act in a way that they don't particularly want to act right at that moment, whether it be kind or patient or whatever, they go, "But that's not the real me." I think that our identity should define and refine our desires, and not the other way around. Who we are should determine what we want to do and how we live. And in fact, that's what Paul, I think, is saying here in in contrast between the old self and the new self. Paul writes, "Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." Put off the old self. Those desires that you have are not good. And Paul says then, put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Why do I say desires, or why does Paul say and God's word say that desires can be deceitful? Our natural desire, the old self, often promises what it cannot deliver. It holds out a promise that if you do something or get something, then the world will be great. But it can't deliver on that. And the way that this has kind of stuck with me is the distinction that someone once made, and I can't attribute it, I'm sorry about that, but the distinction between true and false pleasure. And the difference, someone once said, there are only two types of pleasure in the world, true pleasure and false pleasure. The only difference between the two is that with true pleasure, you pay the price beforehand, and with false pleasure, you pay the price afterwards. And I have thought a lot about this, and I have never found an exception to that rule. It says something interesting about our world that is based on credit, doesn't it? That you get what you want now and you pay for it later. But if you think that through, I think that that really holds for us. Deceitful desires are ones where you want to get what you can now, and who cares about the consequences? That's why Paul calls them deceitful. However, there's a new self created to be like God, and that is what we as Christians are called and encouraged to put on. That sounds pretty cool, you know, to be able to take off the old self, to put on the new self, which is created to be like God, to be like our Heavenly Father, and to continue to grow like God. I want to be like you, Dad. You know I want to be like you. So Christian ethics, if you want to put it that way, Christian virtue is not just about the negative of don't do wrong things. It's actually also, and very importantly, about the positive of but also do what is right. Not just kind of a moral vacuum. You're not a perfect person if you never do anything wrong, according to this scheme, but rather as you do positive goodness, as you put on the new self, as your identity in Christ defines and refines and changes your desires. But if you had a Bible in front of you, which most of you don't, and if you were following through this passage, and let me just put a plug in for bringing your Bible to worship. Good idea, because Pastor Nathan is probably going to encourage you to look at it at various points in time. So, yeah, John's got one on his phone. Yvette's got one on her phone. Megan's got one. Everyone's got a phone. So everyone's got a Bible. Fantastic. See, if we go straight from trying to put off the old self to putting on the new self, we're actually missing something really important. In between those two verses, Paul writes this, "And be renewed in the attitude of your minds." You can't just go straight from putting off the old self. If you try to do this on your own steam, it will not work. Now, what you may notice about this middle step, which is incredibly important, is that it's in what's called the passive voice or passive tense. Sorry? I should reference it, shouldn't I? So Ephesians 4 verse 22 to 24. Cool. Be renewed. Paul is telling us to do something that we cannot actually do ourselves. This is something that happens to to us. It's the passive voice. It's like, I can't think of any other examples at the moment, but this is not what we do. This is what God, through his Holy Spirit, does for us. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. True identity change as Christians, as anyone, comes only through hearing and believing and living according to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That is what God uses to renew us, to renew our minds, to make us the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, the gospel has many facets, and I'm not going to be able to go into all of them tonight, but some of them are picked up in this passage. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 2, "Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That means that you are forgiven. God has put the life of his Son on the line so that you could be renewed and forgiven. Whatever you may have done in the past, whatever you will do in the future that is not according to God's will, that has hurt other people or hurt God or hurt yourself, has been covered and atoned for by the sacrifice of Jesus. You have been forgiven, so you have a new relationship. You are dearly loved children. Ephesians 5 verse 1, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." You have been given, through the work of Christ, a new identity. And so, as I look around this room, I see people who are dearly loved by God. I see Megan with Lawson, and she's going to hate me for picking on her there, but there's a relationship of love there that doesn't depend on what Lawson does, on whether he's good or bad, naughty or not naughty. She loves him because he's her son. God loves you because through Christ you are his son, his daughter. Also, in Ephesians 4:25, Paul says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to their neighbors, for we are all members of one body." Part of the gospel is that you are now members of the body of Christ. You have been given a new community. Not only a new identity, not only new relationships, but a new community. We belong to each other through Jesus. Hearing this good news and trusting that it is for you, that is how God renews you in the attitude of your mind. You can't do it yourself. It's fully a gift. So if your identity is found in Christ, if you are being recreated in the image of God, that new self that God has created you for, what does that practically look like? Paul gives us some really practical ways of living that out here in this passage. There's a contrast between the old self and the new self. And the new self is not just not doing the stuff that the old self does, it's actually doing its positive opposite. And I'll have a quick look at those things. In verse 25, Paul writes, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to their neighbors, for we are all members of one body." So the old self is falsehood. Now, this is challenging because falsehood doesn't just mean telling lies to other people. It also means refraining from telling the truth when the truth needs to be told. And if you're anything like me, and I know that I am, one, two, three, then you will know that it's sometimes very difficult to admonish a brother or sister in Christ. is sometimes very difficult to actually speak, not just not speak a lie, but to speak the truth to them. But the gospel motivation for this is that Jesus spoke to us with grace and truth. He showed us what we were really like. He showed us our sin, but he also showed us God's love. He didn't refrain from speaking out when it was really necessary. And he did it so that we might be built up as God's people. Paul goes on in verse 28, and this is an interesting one because it really emphasizes the positive opposite. Whoever has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So it's not just about not stealing, it's about becoming generous, about working so that you can give something to others. And so it's about going from greed to generosity. Can you see how the positive opposite is at work there? And our gospel motivation for this is that Jesus gave all that he had for us. He who was rich became poor so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Not our own motivation, but what Jesus has done for us. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, I'm just picking up a few of the themes here. Paul writes, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." When we know the kindness and the love of Christ, the depth of his grace, when it's sunk into our hearts, then it's actually impossible to continue to hold on to malice and bitterness and unforgiveness towards others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote that anyone who has once seen the blackness of their own sin that nailed Christ to the cross can never again judge another brother or sister harshly. We're all at the same level. We're all right there at the foot of the cross. Our motivation is a gospel motivation because Jesus was kind and compassionate to us. God didn't hold on to his bitterness or anger or rage, his righteous rage at our sin, but rather gave it up through the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. People of God, do your desires define your identity, or does your identity define your desires? We are called to daily put off the old self, daily to put on the new self that is created to be like Christ in righteousness and holiness. For me, that's really good news. I know that I can't do that on my own. I know that it can only happen through the renewing of the mind that comes through hearing the gospel. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we get to heaven, God willing, our Heavenly Father will say to us, "My boy became just like me. My girl became just like me," through the transformation that comes from the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.